Yes. Time now for our Ask an Expert segment each weekday at this time on KCBS. We're giving you direct access to top experts in various fields related to the pandemic. And today, we're still talking about those CDC recommendations regarding mask wearing for the vaccinated indoors and outdoors. A lot of people have been talking about this. Some aren't too pleased. To sort it all out and answer your questions around these issues, I'm joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Kim Prather. She's director of the NSF Center for Aerosol Impacts on Chemistry of the Environment and professor at the University of California, San Diego. Dr. Prather, welcome back. How have you been?
Good morning, Stan. I've been fine. Thanks for having me.
The Giants are in first place, too. I just thought
I can't. And I've been watching them since I've been up here. It's awesome. We're heading in the right direction.
Well, let's use that as a kind of an analog here for a moment. You know, in the last few days, the Giants and the city of San Francisco changed policies at the ballpark to say that you don't need to have, so you can distance or you can be vaccinated and sit close to each other. Where do we stand right now? How should all of us be reading? Given the vaccination rates, given the case rates, indoors, outdoors, the way we can behave?
That's a good question, because it is confusing right now, I have to say. The simple way to say it is that, if you're vaccinated, you're very, very, you're much safer. And, you know, I think that's what CDC was trying to say. But if you're not, and there's a lot of people that still aren't, unfortunately, especially, you know, younger aged kids are still in the process of getting vaccinated. We've still got a lot of people running around that aren't vaccinated. And so that's where it gets murky. They say you don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. But, you know, if you're somewhere indoors, how do you know? How do we know? And, that's still the concern. I will say for San Francisco, I was just there, as you know, for a few days. And, you know, I felt very safe. The case numbers are down. The way they're handling it, I was impressed as heck to see ventilation signs in the windows. You know, I ate indoors for the first time and felt safe, which I never thought I would say. And I had my CO2 monitor with me, and everywhere I went was very, very, I felt good in San Francisco.
Well, let's talk about that CO2 thing, because, you've mentioned this many times, folks, maybe. So this again is a proxy, right? If you can measure how much carbon dioxide is in a room with other people, it tells you kind of how much air exchange is going on, right?
Yeah, it just tells you how fresh your air is, right? So what happens is you'd like the indoor air to be about the same as outdoor air, which is about 400 is the number, 420, which is, just sort of the natural what you get in fresh outdoor air. When you get indoors and people are breathing, they're producing CO2. And so what happens is that number creeps up in a closed room with poor ventilation is you're breathing other people's air. You're breathing other people's breath. And so you want that number to stay low. If that number starts to get you on the airplane ride, it was high. And that is a concern. Then you're breathing other people's. You're sharing the air, as we say it.
Of course, the airplane's an interesting environment. In fact, I think there's a question lined up. We'll get more specific on that. But so you have an environment there where maybe the air isn't as quote-unquote fresh, but it's filtered. So
right.
That's something.
Right.
Because so that takes out the viruses, but not the CO2.
Yep, that's a great point, Stan. Yep, so that's exactly right. You've got to be a little careful. The CO2, that's where it's not perfect, because just as you say, if they've got good filtration, which airplanes do, they can, especially when they're in the air, then you're right. They're filtering out the virus, so the CO2 can go high. That cannot get removed by the filters. You're absolutely right. So we have to be a little cautious if you don't know if the filtration is on or not.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, did you, the numbers you found as you carried you're a geek, so you carry a meter around with you, but was there any place where you said, whoa, this might not be all that safe?
No, in San Francisco, all the numbers were like 600, less than 600. Our hotel room got up a little high, and there sometimes if you have the air running, you're exchanging air with other rooms sometimes, right? So you don't know. And you don't know the ventilation, and you don't know the type of filtration in a hotel room, right? So in there, we luckily were able to crack our window and just drive it right down. And so that's the simplest thing to do.
All right. Yeah. I was fascinated by a paper that went up in Science Magazine yesterday. I think one of your colleagues from UC San Diego was one of the authors of this. It looked, just sort of did the math around masks. And so we've talked since the beginning of the pandemic. Some people think you've got to wear an N95 everywhere, and others say now, This paper was pretty provocative in simply saying, look, just anything, if you reduce the numbers a little bit and given the reality of any likelihood of virus being in the air anywhere, it's going to work.
I'm on that side, right? There's a couple, you know, there are people that believe N95 are bust, right? You have to have a respirator or the other ones don't work. I fall on the side of, you know, some mask is better than no mask. And if people are wearing them more because they're more comfortable, that is much better.
And at this point, with the viral numbers in the community, we don't know, but we can sure guess, right, by the number of new cases, by the number of positive test results, by vaccinations, they're much lower than they were a year ago if we'd had this conversation.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we're heading in the right direction. And as I say, San Francisco, of all the places in California, is doing amazingly well. So the cases are dropping. They're not as low as you would like. There's still some, you know, circulating in the community. So we're not quite there. We're just so close. And so, you know, and so basically right now, we just want those numbers to come down a little bit further. But also we're buying time while everybody gets vaccinated, right? Kids are just starting down to 12 or just starting to get vaccinated. So we want to bump those numbers up. And give the chance to other people who maybe haven't had the opportunity to be vaccinated. So I think we're super close.
Okay, well, let me ask you one more, and then I've got listener questions lined up. I know you've worked in San Diego with the schools, local schools, mm-hmm. trying to figure mm-hmm. out a way forward. It feels like we're still all kind of stuck on the way forward for schools, especially since it's, you know, we still don't have a vaccine for the under 12-year-old group.
Yeah, so the school district that I'm helping, San Diego Unified, which is the largest one in San Diego, they did open in April, and they've done well, really well. They did everything that I said, which was clean the air, right? Quit focusing on surfaces, which is what schools have tended to do. The other mistake schools have made is they've stuck plexiglass barriers everywhere, ripped those out. Those have been shown to actually increase the risk. There was a paper that came out recently showing that they trap the air, right, where you breathe, right? So the schools that I've been helping have done really, really well. They put in, you know, they make sure all the rooms have ventilation. They checked the CO2. They actually checked with particle counters, which is, you know, aerosols, which is what you really want to do. And, they didn't have to put in like major huge, but people immediately assume that it's really going to be costly and expensive. It wasn't that way. They just went and made sure that all the rooms had access to fresh air was the biggest thing they did. You know, if you don't have windows, then you have to put in filtration. So they bought like 10,000 HEPA filters. You know, that's the other thing. You know, if you have to filter the air, those standalone HEPA filters, just a simple HEPA filter. Don't get the bells and whistles. Don't get the ionizers. Those actually cause, you know, more problems with the air. They don't actually do anything either. So just get a plain old standalone HEPA filter. That is your biggest backdrop that you have.
Okay. Well, let's get to questions. Our guest again, Dr. Kim Prather, professor at the University of California, San Diego, aerosol and indoor air expert. And our email address is askus@kcbsradio.com. Let's start with this one here. What can we do when we fly? They keep passengers 6 feet apart in the terminal, but they have us side by side on the plane. Do we double mask an N95 alone, N95 plus surgical, N95 plus cloth? Should I refrain from speaking to avoid air entering my mouth? What's the best approach for those who travel?
Wow. I am always impressed. I think that's why I come on your show so much. Your questions are so amazing. And so the answer is yes, no. Basically, I think it depends on if you're vaccinated, right? If you're vaccinated, you're pretty darn safe. But I am vaccinated. So what did I do? I wore a good mask, right? I had an N95. That's it. And that was probably overkill, quite honestly. I could have worn a well-fitting double-layered cloth mask in my situation and been fine. The more you reduce speaking, if people, you know, again, my flight, nobody took off their mask. That's when things get kind of a little weird, is when people can take, they're still required on planes, but if you eat or drink, you're going to take off your mask. That's when things like go up, but it was a relatively short flight. So that's what I did. If you aren't vaccinated, then of course, you know, you have to think about it. When you're in the air, as you mentioned earlier, the air is well filtered. Really well filtered. Once you're in the air, it's the boarding and going off the plane that they turn off that filtration a lot of times. They're getting pressure to not do that, but that's the most dangerous part when you're kind of in that boarding where you're all super close and, you know, and that's when things are sort of the highest risk, I would say.
I was about to ask you if that's your next crusade, and that would seem to be something. I know it's around fuel because they have to run the auxiliary power unit to keep everything going on the plane, but I mean, Couldn't that be done pretty quickly?
Yeah, there's pressure, and different airlines, if you watch, are starting to announce that they're switching over. That they're, because you're right, it's all about the fuel and saving costs. And so I know people who've had their sensors, they're geeks like me, and they're carrying their sensor, and they've said, they've shown them, like, look at the numbers, and while they're boarding, and they know it's not being filtered, right? And they've made them turn on the right power so they can filter their air. So people are starting to get more aware, you know, of the situations that are the riskiest, which is great. But as I say, I think the riskiest time is that getting on and off, and the time when people start taking off their masks. Those are the two times. And again, the longer flights, you know, I feel like you shouldn't even have to eat or drink on the short flights, and then you don't have to worry about it, right? I mean, everybody will survive.
My wife just took a trip down to Texas. She said Southwest Airlines now, we have four options. You can have Coke, Diet Coke, 7-Up, or I forget the water. Just hold up a finger. There's no coffee. There's no tea.
No, it's true. And the other thing I saw, this was actually kind of cool. I took a picture. I don't know if you saw. I tweeted it. In San Francisco, I finally saw, they actually said don't talk on the elevator. You're right. Talking produces more aerosols. And so I thought that was really cool.
It's quieter, too. All right. This next one, well, this is probably a politically loaded question. Were you in San Francisco to get schools into the business of teaching in class? Because as you know, it's different up here.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. I was up to visit that's where I'm from. I'm from up here. I'm up here now still. No, I wasn't. But it's funny because maybe I'm going down the wrong political path, but I'll just say I have advised. I am open to advising. Anybody calls me, any school district that calls me, I give them the script of what we did well in San Diego. And I'm happy to share that with people in San Francisco. If people want help, it's not that hard. It is, once you acknowledge that it's in the air, that it's what we breathe, there's a simple recipe to get back to school. I really believe that. And now with vaccines kicking in, and the teachers getting protected and the staff getting protected, I'm feeling pretty confident about school. By fall, for sure, things will be really, really in a good spot, I think.
Okay. Next one. My whole family's fully vaccinated, ready to return to normal activities, including the gym, restaurant, dining, etc., even without masks after June 15th, presumably in California. Is there any reason we should be worried?
No. If your whole family's vaccinated, being fully vaccinated, because we don't understand everything about this virus and it is morphing, it is changing a bit, I personally, I'm just telling you from my perspective, maybe I'm over paranoid. I still make sure that if I go to a restaurant, the restaurants I went to in San Francisco, I made sure that the air was pretty fresh. I sat by the door where the door opened and fresh air burst in. That's how I broke in. But I'm getting more and more comfortable as we go forward. I mean, once you're vaccinated, you can feel pretty darn confident, especially when you're around other people that are vaccinated.
Okay. This next one, this is about the cruise industry. This is another, you're in San Diego. I know they were vaccinating cruise ship crew members this week in San Diego, trying to get that underway. With ocean cruising restarting imminently, does your guests have any idea how cruise ship ventilation is being modified to ensure frequent indoor fresh air exchange? Will this apply to any cruise ship that touches a U.S. port from overseas? This listener says fully vaccinated, which, of course, is a cruise line requirement.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, that's a loaded question, too. Let's just say I won't be taking cruises until I hear more about what they're doing. I read the policies of the different cruise lines that claim they're ready. They're still cleaning surfaces, from what I can tell. I have not seen, and if somebody else has seen it, let me know. But so far, the cruise industry is still on the old, belief that it's all droplets and on surfaces and clean surfaces. They're bragging about that. Cruise ships, they share the air like crazy. And I think they've, for historically, just like the norovirus, they're always pointing to surfaces. But then they're questioning, like if you saw, I don't know if you saw the thing about the Princess Cruise where, people were in their cabins and they all got it. How'd that happen? It's from the air, right? And so I have not seen anybody in the cruise industry say that they have adjusted their air on cruises. And until that happens, I can tell you I'm not taking the cruise. I hate to say that, but even vaccinated, because you don't know what the other people are. You're going into different ports. You don't know what those people, what is there. That's just a way to move around, maybe not this virus, but some other virus, right? And so until they clean their air on cruise ships, where you're basically really sharing the air, I would be very cautious, even for me, even vaccinated. I hope they do it soon because I love cruises.
Okay. All right. This next one. Confused now about the whole 6 foot thing. Do we or do we not need to stay 6 feet apart, vaccinated, still wearing masks indoors?
So vaccinated? Was that vaccinated?
Yes, vaccinated and masked.
Yeah, I mean, vaccinated and masked. Geez, yeah. I mean, basically, you're looking at the different layers, right? Every layer of protection makes you safer. But once you're vaccinated, and again, if you're wearing a mask, but what's happening is more and more people are being, you know, we're told we don't have to wear masks indoors. And so if there's a bunch of people indoors, the more people that are indoors that you don't know that are not wearing masks and you don't really know if they're vaccinated, that's where I start to get nervous. But I have to tell myself I'm vaccinated, right? Once you're vaccinated, at least right now, you are very, very safe. But again, you know, vaccinated indoors with people that are fully vaccinated, I'm at the point where I'm taking off my mask if I know that everybody else is vaccinated indoors.
Okay. All right, this next one says, I'm vaccinated and I'm still getting the dirty look when I walk down the sidewalk or go for a jog. Does your guest have any idea what I can tell people when they confront me over this?
I do this. I'm experiencing, I've been taking a lot of walks on my little break, and I get the same look. I know what that look is like, and I have actually literally said, I'm doubly vaccinated. And then I think, why did I explain myself to that stranger? So I know that look, and it is strange. I have a shirt. I bought a shirt that's like Rosie the Riveter with, you know, saying I'm vaccinated. I wear that. But I know what the look is. I mean, I just kind of, I tell people, but they still kind of glare. So I understand. But when you're outside and you're vaccinated, I haven't been wearing my mask lately either. I've had it at my hand just in case I get around a crowd of people just so I don't have to freak people out. But yeah, I know that look.
So you're not like, in the I'm going to pull my mask up because I think it might make you feel more comfortable. Candidly, I'm with you on this, and I'm glad this question came up because I've kind of been looking. I don't want to have to pull the county health order out and wave and say, see, it just says I don't have to.
Yeah. So I did. It's like a weaning process, right? I did what you're saying. I had it around like my chin and I pull it up just to make people feel good. And I have just evolved over the last few days to, I actually haven't had it with me, which is bizarre, but that's what I've
done.
Feels
weird, right?
I mean, yeah, it feels like, really weird.
Am I dressed?
Feels really,
yeah.
You feel like you're missing some article of clothing. Yes, absolutely.
All right. This next one here. My family wants to get together with our friends, but none of our kids are able to be vaccinated. They're too young. All parents vaccinated. Both families have returned to part-time school within our district. Are indoor play dates safe for our kids?
Kids can spread it, right? And they can spread it to each other. And so that is, you know, a risky situation that the kids will be spreading it back and forth, especially since they're going to school, but they're spreading it potentially at school too. If you want to be extra safe, you know, I'm noticing a lot of kids are getting pretty darn comfortable with those masks. And so especially if you're outdoors, let the kids go wild and I don't worry about the masks, but indoors, I would, if you want to be extra cautious, cause you don't, you know, you just don't want your kids catching it because, you know, they don't get it as severely, but some can, right? So if you really want to be cautious, you would just have your kids wearing masks if they're around kids that you know, they possibly could catch it.
Keep the thing outdoors.
The parents are fine, but let them play outdoors. Yeah, that's where they should be. Yep.
Okay, well, let's make this the last one here. This is kind of at the heart of where this confusion over the CDC thing is. I work at a grocery store, which is now not enforcing our previous mask policy for patrons, although in California they're supposed to. But anyway, most customers still wear them. How safe is it for me to work in the enclosed store? We aren't checking vaccine cards or anything to determine if the maskless people are vaccinated. I'm assuming the grocery store worker is vaccinated. That doesn't say that in the email, though.
I hope they're vaccinated. That's my first statement. And other than that, I am pushed. This is my latest push, is I am worried about workers because indoors, long periods of time, right, with people that maybe aren't wearing masks now more and more, those people are at higher risk. And so I am worried about workers, the workers. And so I just say, if you are in that situation, get vaccinated as soon as you can, and then you'll be okay. But other than that, then I would make sure you have access and are wearing a high quality mask. And we're trying to get it to the point where we wrote a letter to Biden, you know, Biden's team to get masks for, you know, the workers in those situations. And I will be talking to the sort of the health equity committee soon about this, because this is a place where where, you know, some people just have, you know, they have to go to work. They have, they're put in this position, but they're not properly protected, unfortunately. So vaccine, and if you don't have it, then just put on the best, you know, mask you can or respirator that you can in those situations.
Got a quick follow-up for you. If somebody heard your answer on air filters, what's wrong with an ionizer? Are the UV HEPA filters better?
You don't need UV, just HEPA just takes it out. Just you know, UV will, it depends on what kind of UVs. It starts getting wonky. What's wrong with the ionizers is that they ionize the air and create oxidants in the air, which you breathe and can irritate your lungs. You know, it's just basically creating another form of sort of indoor air pollution, if you will. And they're not needed. They have not, there's studies that have come out recently and before, they've looked, they don't kill the viruses either. So they're just adding extra pollutants to the air, and they're not helping the situation. Standard HEPA filtration, the size of this, the respiratory drop, you know, aerosols that come out of you, they are taken out like with 99% efficiency. They work beautifully. Do not pay extra for the bells. Schools are getting killed by paying extra for this, and that's a terrible waste of funding.
They work great on wildfire smoke, too. So unfortunately.
Exactly.
All right. Dr. Prather, what a great time to talk to you again. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Stan.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. Dr. Kim Prather, a director of the NSF Center for Aerosol Impacts on Chemistry of the Environment and professor at the University of California, San Diego.